Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know that we have been called as the Church of Jesus Christ to go out into this world to love God, to love others, and go. These three commands give us all of the scriptures from the beginning to the end, and in them we find our hope and our being. So as we are going this day into the next portion of our sermon, which I've entitled, There Is a War Raging, this section is called Prepare for the Battle. We have to understand our military goes through basic training. How many of you realize you're in non-basic training right now? Okay, when I say non-basic training, what am I talking about? I'm talking about something otherworldly. That's why I say it's non-basic, because it's not of this world. It's not things we normally think of. As we prepare for this battle, we have to prepare spiritually as well as physically for this battle. That is a mental exercise as much as it is a physical exercise. Now, Brother Wendell will tell us, so too is basic training in the military. It is much physical and it is much mental, okay? But again, I'm not speaking of this world. I'm speaking otherworldly. I'm speaking of a spiritual reality in this physical world. And as we look to these things, one of the things that I need us to understand, and I think we all comprehend it, but we aren't really sure how to access it. And that is that this battle that we are getting ourselves into, it doesn't belong to us. Number one, we can't fight it on our own, okay? I don't know about you, but I've never been able to box a spirit, okay? I mean, it just doesn't work, all right? I can throw as many punches as I want, but I don't know if any of them are ever going to land physically. But spiritually, they will land, and they will do their work. So what am I talking about? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to be reading from verses 7 through 12. Verses 7 through 12, and this is our first scripture here of this day. And may the Lord bless us as we open to His Word in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For thus saith the word of the Lord, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard that which I have entrusted unto Him unto that day. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen, church? As we read these words, it's understanding that we have been given a spirit, not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit of drawing back, not a spirit of hiding, but a spirit of power. And that spirit of power and love and self-discipline needs to be engaged. We need to engage the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to fight this battle, because the battle belongs to the Lord. It is a spiritual battle. It is His battle. And if we try to do the things in our works, according to what Paul just said here in verse 9, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has granted us in Jesus Christ, from all where? eternity. Folks, this was granted to us before the beginning of time. If you read that in other translations, it actually says that, from before the beginning. Because God knew these things were going to come, and he has prepared us. He has prepared a way for us. He has prepared the truth for us, and he has prepared the life for us. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. We all know it. And as we portion these things to ourselves and we look at the fact that we have power over these instances in our lives, how many of you realize what's going on in our church right now? And for those of you out there on internet land, you've heard me speaking of it over these last several days, all right? Right now, we have an elder down. Right now, we have a pastor down. Right now, we have the head of our missions and a deacon down. Right now, we have the head of our worship headed for surgery. Pastor was sick 2 weeks ago because I came against the devil, and he made me sick thinking that would scatter the sheep. How did it scatter the sheep? Not so much so, huh? But he is at war with us. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't think this isn't a spiritual war, you are wrong. Everybody looks at me and they say, man, you got two heads. What do you mean? You know, these people are sick. You know, they're dealing with cancer. And we all know that's what's going on with three of our people. And Miss Susan's been dealing with, how many years have you been dealing with this, Miss Susan? Since 1999. Do you think it's time for it to be over? Can I get an amen out of the church? Yeah. You see, God knew we were coming here and she was going to be a part. How important is the worship? Y'all realize what we just did here? That's all worship. Communion is worship, people. Who led that? Yeah, I get to speak the words, but she's the one who leads us. She leads us into the presence of the Lord with that song. She's the one who leads us because it's worship. You know, everybody thinks, oh, the most important part of the service is the sermon. Nope, wrong chicken. Are we here to sermon? No, we're here to worship. That's what Sunday's about. As a result of our sin, I get to preach, praise Jesus. Because I remind us why we're here to worship. Because we have something to worship about. Because he's given us this power. He's given us this spirit that is going to embolden us to speak the truth into a dark place. To come against the evil that wants to put down our elders, our deacons, our elders, our pastors, our deacons, our worship leaders, and everything that we are as a church. And we're just beginning in this new place. Do you think the war is getting warmed up? You better believe it, because he wants to put us down when we get started. And I don't know about you, but I just got my marching orders. What do they call that when you get your orders? Yeah, he says, I have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor. But they send you your orders and you're getting ready to be deployed. We're getting ready to be deployed. That's what it is. To Jonestown, Pennsylvania, and throughout the rest of the world. Thank you, Father God, because my army guy couldn't even help me on that one. You see, the sermons are interactive. I expect you to know what I'm talking about. I don't care if you know what I'm talking about. I pray you know who I'm talking about. And he is Jesus the Christ and the power therein. And as we go, I want you to see what it says. Look what it says here in verse 9. It says that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him unto that day. What day is that, folks? That's the day of our being received unto him. But we have a lot of work to do in the meantime as the body of Christ, because it is our job, according to the book of Jude, that we are to come against the very gates of hell, snatching people out of the flames. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know a whole lot of people that like to run into the fire. But I think of our firemen. I think of our first responders. I think of our military men and women. And they have to prepare for these things. They go through hours and hours and hours of training to go into these places of hostility, to bring out the victim, to bring out from captive those who are oppressed. And we need to be that very people. We are the army of the Lord. But he tells us we don't have to fight, and we're going to look at that here in a little while. He literally tells us, once you've done all this stuff to prepare, now just stand there. Because my power is going to do its work, but you got to have this stuff ready. You've got to have that right mindset of where you're going and how you're going to get there. Because if you are not prepared for the battle is going to overcome you. I don't want any of us to be lost in this battle. I don't want any of us to be set aside in this battle. We all have a place to be, and that's right where you are right now. Number one, having taken communion today and realizing that you are the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? And in that, we have a work to do. That work is to worship our Lord and then go out from this place and let our lives worship him and be renewed in our minds. You know, I think about David when he went out to slew Goliath, to slew Goliath. Oh, my goodness. Is that the past tense of slay to slew? Yeah, I'm too Dutchified. I don't know about this stuff. But when David went out there, I want you to think about it. The whole army was there. And Davy was a ruddy boy, okay? How many of you know what a ruddy boy is? You know, little chubby, little red face, gets out of breath when he runs a little bit, you know, okay? And I'm going to slew Goliath until we're done here today. He's going to slay Goliath, and the whole army doesn't want to touch him. Why was he able to do that? Because he was not operating in the physical, he was operating in the spiritual, because his mind had been renewed. What did he tell Saul? He told Saul, God has delivered both the bear and the lion into my hands. When I was tending his sheep, how much more important is Israel? This giant means nothing. And I think it's amazing because, you know, he took 5 stones with him. You know, and I've made this comment many times before because I don't know if many people know it. But I always used to say, I always wondered why he took 5. He only needed 1. But you see, David was prepared for the battle. It wasn't because he thought he was going to miss. It was because he knew Goliath had 4 brothers. Goliath had 4 brothers. Did you just hear me? He was prepared for what come what may, and he was ready to go. He didn't need the other 4 because those 4 brothers ran with the rest of the Philistines once he killed the biggest one. How many of us are prepared to go into a battle where the odds are insurmountable, but yet the victories are already laid out? All we have to do is remember that God is going before us. He's prepared us before the beginning of time for these things. The battle is already won. Jesus told us that. We know that. How do we know that? He rose up from the grave. Death has been defeated. It's over. He's got the keys to it all. Now he's just waiting until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, because we serve a God of grace and a God of glory. He wants that no one should perish. He knows when the end is going to be. You know, there were a bunch of people that thought it was going to happen on September 23rd here just a couple of days ago. How'd that work? I think we're all still here. Okay. Now, one of us thought he got close, but I'll let him talk about that as he's willing. It's a good story. But it's so funny because, folks, here we are. We're in the midst of this thing. And God says, I'm going to give you power and I'm going to guard you. Don't worry about it, but you need to prepare for the battle. That means to prepare your minds. Does it not tell us in the book of Romans that we are to renew our minds? The world wants us to be afraid. The world wants us to be cast down. The world wants us to hear cancer. The world wants us to hear, you know, surgery and all these different things and get afraid and back away. And I say, no, now is the time to advance and to take what is ours. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because when we back off, Satan doesn't win. He never wins. He simply stops the church from being effective. God will bring about God's will in God's way. But don't you want to be part of that winning team? Of being there and being out there on the mark and getting these young people coming into the house of the Lord, raising them up in the way of the Lord so they know who they are. They have a plan. They have a purpose for their lives. How many of these young people today, I watched an interview just the other day where this young woman was talking to Charlie Kirk and she's talking about being gay or being queer. She said she was queer. And Charlie asked her, he said, can I ask you a question? And she said, well, yeah, that's why we're here, is to debate. He said, that's exactly right, to gain information. He said, what does queer mean? He said, I'm not being silly. I'm not being funny. He said, when I grew up, you know, I was taught I couldn't say that word. That was a bad word. You don't say that about somebody. So I don't really know what it means. What's it mean? Well, after about a five-minute discourse, she couldn't answer the question. So do these people even know what they are? No. They have no idea what they are because they're holding on to an ideology that is simply against God. That's all that matters to them because they don't want to align themselves with God, which means coming into alignment with how we are created and who our Creator is and finding true purpose for our lives. We would rather wander around floundering and end up in hell thinking that we did it our way. You know, we all know that song. I did it my way. Yeah, it's going to get you to hell. That's all that's going to do. I know that sounded like that too. Thank you, Brother Wendell. But God wants us engaged. Because God says, I got your back, and you are going to see who I am, and you're going to show me to others, because in your weakness, my strength is made perfect, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get an amen, church? And as we turn our hearts and minds to Christ, He will empower us to do that which seems impossible. It's, you know, I think about where we are as a congregation. I can't do anything about cancer. I can't do anything for Miss Susan, but I can do something. I can do something far greater. I can take a sip of water here. And that far greater is to pray and know that God has said, when my people pray, I will hear their prayer and I will answer them from heaven. I don't know what the answer is going to be. I can't make that outcome. But did Jesus not say that by His stripes we are healed? There is healing in the wings. We just have to grab a hold of the hem of that garment and not let go. Not let go. Hold on believing and knowing that no matter the outcome, healing is on its way. And that's where we need to stand. And we need to stop speaking darkness into this stuff, okay? When you are speaking darkness into this stuff, all you are doing is giving the devil power over your mind, over your mouth, and over your being. We have to remember, when we are looking at this, the reality is going to be what you make the outcome want to be. So if you are speaking ill into this thing, how many of you get up in the morning, and I'll never forget this because I felt like I was on my deathbed, but I knew I wasn't. I'd get up in the morning and I'd put my feet on the floor and I'd say, Lord, today is a day of healing. Lord, today is a day of healing. And I would go about my day. I would feel lousy throughout the day, but throughout the day, I just simply kept saying, Lord, today is a day of healing. Well, I'm standing up front here, so was it a day of healing? Yes, it was. I could have spoken into it and said, I'm so sick, I'm just going to lay in bed. Guess what would have happened? I'd have just laid in bed and gotten sicker. We've got to get our mind and our body renewed and begin working with God, not against God. Can I get an amen, church? Because He is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto Him against that day. That's His words, not mine. Are you going to trust Him? Or are you going to speak ill of it and tell Him He can't do it, which means He won't? Think about what I just said. That's powerful words, Pastor. You're telling me my words have power? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Does not the Holy Spirit reside in you? Every time you speak, you are speaking the Spirit of God, because you are a child of God and the Holy Spirit is in you. You're either coming into alignment with Him or you're coming against Him. Which is it going to be? Let us begin speaking the truth in love. Isn't that what Charlie did? Isn't that what we're all supposed to be doing? Speak the truth in love and move forward into this world. We need to be prepared for this battle. The next thing we need to know is that we need to know the Spirit equals knowing the Word. Because so many of us, you know, we're thinking, well, you know, I've got the Spirit in me. Well, do you have the Word in you? And when I say that, do you literally know the Word? How many of us are reading our Bibles on a daily basis that when these troubles come, we can literally speak the Scriptures against it? Because when Jesus came against Satan in the wilderness, when he was fasting for 40 days, did he take a club with him? No, he took the Word of God in his heart, because he is the Word of God, and he spoke the Word of God back to him. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 4. From verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Brothers and sisters, what is he talking about here? You and I are sealed in Christ. We have the Lord in us. We have overcome this world because Christ is in us and he has overcome this world. Many people who are out here, as we are preparing for this battle, there are going to be people that are going to come against us. There are going to be situations that are going to come against us. You're going to seem like, oh, this thing's insurmountable. It's bigger than me. No, it's not, because our God is bigger than any of it, and he is in you and you are in him, and all things fall to his control. And if you are going to walk in that truth, you're going to walk in victory, because God will not allow the things of this world to come against us to the point where we are beaten down. God worketh all things to good to those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Can I get an amen, church? Because as we apply these scriptures to ourselves, we will find ourselves walking in a truth, walking in a hope, walking in a life that truly is life itself. We're going to go through tough times, but that's why you have a church with you, is to help lift you up, okay? Pastor David just told me this morning he lost another pound and a little bit just since last week. We have to pray that that stops. Can I get an amen? Amen. Then let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know it's tough for David to eat right now because it's affecting his throat. And Lord, when he's trying to chew, it hurts so bad. But Father God, I know you are more powerful than this thing that is in him. For greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And this worldly thing, we cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. And we proclaim the strength of Jesus Christ upon him, upon his family. That Lord God, as he walks through this thing, that he's walking into victory. He's walking out of darkness. And these things shall pass away. And the light of Christ shall come to be in all of our lives as we give glory unto you for what you are doing in this man and through this church. For Lord God, we put asunder the things of darkness in this place, for there is no place here for the evil one, and we cast him out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. And amen. Brothers and sisters, we have to walk with that determination. And God tells us how to walk. He shows us how we're supposed to walk. From verse 7, he tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And amen, and amen. You know, I think it's amazing because there are a lot of people that will quote that scripture to me, and then they want to talk to me about perverted sexual love. That is not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture is talking about the love of God. The love of God is, and I will tell you this with all authority, the love of God is not physical in a sexual sense. The love of God is physical and spiritual unto the provision of our lives and the protection of our eternal being. That's the love of God. That nothing of this world can harm us without his permission. This sexual perversion that everybody wants to throw out and say, oh, but love. No, get your head out of your lusts and get your heart right with the God who has shown us what love is by sending his Son, that he died, that we don't have to, that the sickness can be overcome, and that nothing, death, has been given over to Christ. He has all the keys. Can I get an amen? Amen. And how many of you remember I taught you just a couple of weeks ago that he's given all the keys to you? Start unlocking doors and walking in. But again, we have to prepare for the battle, because if we're not ready to walk in, we're going to get beat up. How many of you remember what happened to the young men that went in on that demon and said, in the name of Jesus and of Paul, we cast you out? And he says, I know who Jesus is. I even know who Paul is. But who are you? And he cast them out naked. Think about that. He didn't just beat them up. He cast them out naked. You think they was a little embarrassed? Yeah, they probably wished they wouldn't have gone in there, because they weren't prepared for battle. They were not prepared for war. They went in there thinking it was all about them and what they were going to do. Well, they found out you and I don't have the strength to do the things that we think we have the strength to do. But in Christ Jesus, he will do things far greater than any of us can do. Well, how is that, Pastor? Well, he's told us. Do you know he's told us? Turn in your Bibles. I got to finish this from verse 13. It says, by this we know from verse 13. Yeah, I'm skipping here. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That is the first preparation for what we're getting ready to go into, is abiding in the love of God, the provision of God, the protection of God. And as we abide in that, now we are beginning to get prepared for the battle. Because it's from that place that we realize it's not us fighting, it is God fighting through us. It is God looking into these things, and he is speaking the good into these things. He's speaking good to us. He's speaking grace to us. He's speaking favor to us. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to be blessed? Here's the next question. Can you stand to be blessed? Because to whom much is given, I don't know about you, but I think I'm ready for that next piece. Because he has already given us much. And now it's time to step up. It's understanding that what is coming against us is because we've been blessed. So now it's our job. It is our call. It is our duty to the brothers and sisters who are coming under the attack that we redouble our efforts, good people, that we are coming around them and we are bringing them off the battlefield and we are stepping in their place. And we are saying, no, you're not going to harm this one anymore. We're going to bring healing unto them. We're going to speak healing into their lives. We're going to bring the goodness of God into their lives. And by that, we're going to come against you, evil. We're going to come against them, evil, in this world. And we are going to speak the truth because we're going to do it in love. We're not going to beat them up. We're going to love them. Just as God loved us and brought us out of this darkness and into his kingdom. How did he do that? By beating us up? No, by loving us and drawing us unto him. That's why I said we're not a religion of hate. We're a religion of true love where we want people to receive the provision and protection of the Lord. We want them to have purpose. We want them to see that each and every one of us, God has ordained that there is a future for us if we will but believe. And that's a truth that I cannot stress far more than I'm doing here today, except to tell you that for the next several weeks, we are going to be dealing with what that means. We're going to be taking the battle to him, rather than allowing him, and by that I mean the evil one, we're going to be taking the battle to him rather than him bringing the battle to us. It's time for us to get on the battlefield and start attacking him. Rather than playing defense all the time, it's now time to get on the offensive. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what does that look like? Turn in your Bibles to our last scripture, which is actually going to be the beginning of the whole next several weeks as we begin from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. JB, did you get that slide ready for me? What's that? The armor slide. Oh, you don't have it on that computer? Okay. Till next week, we'll have it on that computer. Awesome. Yeah, because I have it on my computer at the church computer. If you don't have it, Ryan, I do have it yet. So if you would, get that loaded up. From verse 10 in chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with the truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We need to understand what this means. We do not fight against flesh and blood in this world. The evil goes against the minds and hearts of men, and those men come at us. It is not them that we are battling. It is the ideologies. It is the spiritual forces that have come into their being and are oppressing them or possessing them that we are in fight thereof. And as we put on the full armor of Jesus Christ, And that's the one that I wanted. Thank you, God. Guys, evidently you did have it up there. Because that's where we're going. How many of you remember the last time we did that sermon series? It's been years. And the Lord has told me you are going right back into it. But this time you are going to tear it apart as to what each piece of that armor looks like. Because if we're not prepared for the battle, we're going in naked. Just like the devil threw out, that demon threw out the others. I'm not going into the battle naked because I can't do a good fight when I don't have anything on. But I want to put on the full armor of God, understanding what each piece is, and thereby being able to come under that piece of the weaponry that we have and stand my ground against the evil that is in this world. Because when we prepare for the battle, it doesn't say we're supposed to fight. It says stand firm then. And that's what we're doing, standing firm. And as we move from this day forward, I pray it is the hope of each and every one of us that the heart of Christ Church will stand, loving God, loving others, and going, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I get an amen? Pray with me. And remember where we're going, because we're going into the Word and we're going to start dissecting our armor and being prepared for that battle. Father God, we come before you this day in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and we do give ourselves to you this day. That by your Spirit, Lord, that's what we've got to understand. All these things are by your Spirit. It's your battle. It is your battle. We cannot fight this battle. We never could from beginning. From the beginning, it was your battle. If Adam and Eve would have called on you, you'd have taken care of that snake. They didn't call on you. They rejected you and accepted the things of evil. And in that, Lord, now we find ourselves having to stand. But Lord, we don't stand in those evil things. We stand in you. We stand once again because you loved us and brought us out of the darkness and have brought us in as sons and daughters of light. And we know you reside in us, for we know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we hold fast to that truth and reality that he has set us free from the grave and from sin and death. And now we walk in the light of Jesus, who is the Christ. Bless us as we go this day, O Lord, and prepare us for the battle that is yet ahead. For each and every one of us is able to stand in the Spirit of the Most High God. In Jesus' holy name, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.